I have a short message for you. And the first thing I want to speak about is Mary, just a few words about Mary. She must have wondered what sort of a child this would be. She was told that Jesus was great and he was the Son of the Highest and that he would sit on the throne of his father David and that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever. And as she pondered these words, as she thought about these words, she must have marveled in her heart. There must have been awe. She was told that she was blessed amongst all women. She was told to rejoice because she was highly favored. And then she heard the words of his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, Joseph was a descendant of David. Mary was a descendant of David. Both were in the line of David. But then she thought, well, David was the greatest king ever. His kingdom was a marvelous kingdom, a king of peace. But this one who will be born from my womb, his kingdom will never end. And she must have contemplated those words. When she met Elizabeth, her cousin, Elizabeth was with child, and the babe leapt within her womb as she met Mary. And Elizabeth said to her, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She must have bowed down in awe and adoration in her own heart and worshipped God. And then we have those words that she said in verse 46 of Luke 1. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. She was overcome with amazing wonder and joy. As you look at Mary, you see somebody who's, in some sense, is a quiet woman, a woman who received the word of God meekly. After the angel had come to her, she'd said, let it be to me according to your word. And then when the shepherds had left her, we read that she pondered all these things in her heart. She kept them in her heart. The shepherds had come from those hillsides 2 miles outside of Bethlehem, and they come with great excitement. And they come to see her little baby, and she must have heard the shepherds telling of the angels that had appeared to them, and they come to see the babe who is Christ the Lord, the Saviour. And she thought about it deeply. She pondered it. She was to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed amongst all women. But she knew too that she was a sinner, for she said that he was her Saviour. She also at the birth not only heard words which gave her tremendous joy, but she heard words that troubled her as well. Simeon was to say to her that her son was for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and a sword would pierce her heart. Right at the outset, this little child, whilst he was to bring great joy, would also bring sorrow to her, because she would see him abandoned upon a cruel cross. She would see the hatred of men towards him. She would see the rejection of humanity toward the Son of God. So Mary. But then turning back to our first reading that Joshua read to us in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. It's a tremendous passage. And we're reminded that this son is given to us. Normally when you speak about a son being born, he's born too, and you mention the name of the parents, don't you? But we read in Scripture, unto us a son is given. Normally it's unto Joseph and Mary, but not to Joseph and Mary, but to us a son is given. And his name was to be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mary knew that Jesus truly was wonderful, but she would experience him too to be a counselor. There are different translations of this verse. The Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, it put the two words together, wonderful counselor. Some put a comma in, wonderful, then comma, counselor. But in the Old Testament scriptures, there was no commas, no punctuation. It's more probable that you would have full couplets, wouldn't you? Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It doesn't really matter because he is wonderful, he is a counselor, and he is a wonderful counselor. And I just want us to dwell upon those words now. Mary found him to be wonderful, but she was discovering him to be a counselor. What comes to your mind when you think of the word counselor? Well, today in our society, we have many, many trained counselors. Somebody who comes alongside you. If he's professional, you go to him, and he sits down alongside you, or you go to her, and that person listens to you. Generally, a counselor is a good listener. They sympathize with you. You're going for comfort. You're going for direction. You're needing advice. You're needing maybe a plan of action. You're suffering maybe with depression. Maybe you have a mental illness. Maybe you can't cope in a certain situation. Great stress. And so you go to that trained person and you're looking for a way out of your situation. In 2010, a survey was done, and they found that in Cambridge University, a fifth of all students during their university time would see a trained counsellor. Another survey done last year showed that students seeking counselling is on the rise. If we compare today with 4 years ago, there are a third more students seeking counselling. For example, in Glasgow University in 2012, 1,180 students sought counsellors. 4 years ago, actually it was half that, 518 students. The National Students Union, NUS, in May 2013, did a large survey of students, and they discovered that 20% of students admitted to some form of mental health problem. And 13% of all students said that they had had suicidal thoughts. That might surprise you to see how many have actually had suicidal thoughts. Now, student life isn't easy. There's the pressure of finance for many students, debt, the worry over money. For some, it's the demands of their coursework, deadlines. For others, it's the pressure of exams. For others, it's difficulties in relationships. They're away from home and they make a relationship, that relationship's broken, and they can't cope with that situation. And so students go to counsellors to find help, and thank God there are people trained who often are able to give very helpful advice, but often the counsellor can't solve everything. Our family faced a very, very difficult situation just a couple of weeks ago. A young lad, he came to live with us, just 17 years old, 6 months, had a lovely time with us, and we were in a little valley church. We'd come home from Brazil, and we said, we're going to a tiny valley church, but if you want to go to church with young people, you go to a different church. And he went off to a church with young people, but we knew he had difficulties whilst he was here in Wales. He was learning English, a Brazilian young man. And he went back to Brazil, a loving family, went to Bible college for a time, did a degree, became a teacher. And then 2 weeks ago, we heard that he committed suicide. Now, just before committing suicide, he went to a trained counsellor, psychiatrist. And in that same building, after seeing the psychiatrist, he went onto the 10th floor and threw himself off and committed suicide. And you think, why? That man was desperate, had loving parents, lots of people around him who could have helped him, a large supportive family, but he was absolutely desperate, suffered with depression for years. And the counselor couldn't help him. Straight after seeing the psychiatrist, he ended his own life. Well, today, I wonder, who do we go to when we're in difficulty? The Bible says that we have one who is the counselor of all counselors. He's a wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to a counselor, you want somebody who can understand you. So often we say, nobody understands me. Nobody really understands what I'm going through. Maybe even our nearest and dearest don't understand us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he understands us more than we understand ourselves. Sometimes we think we understand our own selves, but Jesus understands us fully and totally and completely. Do you remember that woman who was despised by society, a lady who lived in Sychar, a Samaritan woman? We read about her in the Gospel of John. She must have been going through turmoil. She was faced with so much rejection that she had to draw water herself. At midday, she couldn't go with the other women. And it's difficult, isn't it, to live with rejection? It's difficult to live with the feeling that people are looking down upon you and despising you. But Jesus didn't reject her. He spoke to her, and that was astounding. He was a Jew speaking to a Samaritan. He was a man on his own speaking to woman, breaking all cultural barriers. And Jesus spent time talking to her, offering her living water. And then he showed that he knew her fully. He knew that she'd had six men. And he spoke about it, but you know, she wasn't distraught by this. She went back to her village and she told them, everybody, I've met a man who could tell me everything about me. And that stirred up the people and they went out to see Jesus. Jesus is a perfect counselor. He knows everything about you, more than you understand about yourself. And he is able to meet you at your deepest need. Sometimes we think we know the possible solution for our lives. There's another man, highly intelligent. His name was Nicodemus. He went to Jesus and he had questions for Jesus, but Jesus knew his real need. Sometimes we may go to somebody and they give us a helpful word of advice. They bring a different slant upon a situation. They speak something that we'd never thought of before, and actually that's the way out for us. That's the key. Well, Jesus could always do that because he knew exactly what people needed. And this man who was proud, trusted in his birth, a Pharisee, Jesus said, well, what you need is another birth. It's no good your natural birth and your natural... You need to be born again. Then you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. Many people are looking for counselors because they need peace. They have no peace. Maybe it's stress, maybe it's worry, maybe it's not able to sleep, but they have no real lasting peace. And Jesus is a counselor who brings peace because he is the Prince of Peace. And when you go to a counselor, you want somebody in whom you can trust. You don't want somebody who will speak to you and give you advice, and then you see them the next day and you see them in a real-life situation and they're totally the opposite of what you thought they would be. They're maybe running down somebody or being mean or callous. And you thought, well, I went to that person for advice and look how they're living. Well, Jesus, he was one in whom people could find no fault. He could say to people, for which sin did you accuse me? He was absolutely perfect, spotless, sinless, pure, holy in his thoughts, holy in his actions, totally trustworthy. If you want somebody to go to who you can fully trust, go to the Lord Jesus. And then you want somebody who's wise. Sometimes we think that people who've studied a lot with all their intelligence can give us the right advice, but that isn't always the case, is it? It's not just reading lots of books and having ample knowledge and being able to pass on your knowledge to others which will necessarily solve a situation. We need wisdom. That's very different, isn't it, from just intelligence. It's the application of spiritual knowledge to our lives. In Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge are found. We read in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the wisdom of God. Have you gone to him? Have you sought him in prayer? Have you listened to his word? If you want to find counsel from the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to listen to him speaking through the Bible. You need to be regularly in a church. You need to be regularly reading the Word of God for yourself. Because he speaks through his Word. And then a counsellor, we need somebody who's going to comfort us. How we need comfort and consolation. The Lord Jesus has gone to glory now, but he sent his Spirit, who is the comforter. He gives consolation. And when you go to a counsellor, well, sometimes you go for so many weeks, you've spent your money and you can no longer go. Or that counsellor maybe moves away and you can no longer see them. Well, the counsellor says that's enough. But we have a counsellor who is called an everlasting Father. He's fatherly towards us. And he's a perfect Father. Yes, there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And even one of his names is Everlasting Father, Mighty God. That word Mighty God in the Hebrew is El Gibor. You see, your greatest need is the problem of your sin. And only God can deal with your sin. Only God can wipe away sin. But Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, the mighty God who came into this world fully God, fully man, giving his life upon the cross to deal with our sins and to forgive us. He is a wonderful counselor, wonderful in his birth, wonderful in his life, wonderful in his death, wonderful in his resurrection, wonderful in his ascension, wonderful in his reign. And he is coming again. The prophets foretold that he would come the first time. Isaiah foretold, Micah foretold, other prophets foretold. And the scripture says he's coming again. It's foretold. Nobody was expecting it when Jesus came the first time. Are you ready for him to come again? Seek his counsel now. Isaiah 11 says this, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding.